Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Okay. So, if you're new, then welcome to a series of Hebrews. We're on chapter 12. If you know Hebrews, there's one more week to go. So you've kind of missed quite a few of the series, but you know, we save the best to last. So we're looking at Hebrews, and we're in a mini-series within Hebrews over these last 3 weeks about looking at faith beyond the horizon. Faith beyond the horizon. And today, we're going to look at chapter 12, although I'm not going to make it all the way through chapter 12. You're going to have to do some homework in your own time. I think I might get up to about verse 17 of the chapter, and then I'm just going to call it quits and say that was what I intended to do. Because I'm telling you now, I don't think I'll get through beyond more. Not anything, by the way, because of you, just because there's too much to say. So we're looking at faith beyond the horizon, and I am talking really specifically today about the pain and the purpose of the pivot. The pain and the purpose of the pivot. And for this to happen, I've got a few friends who are just going to, by courtesy of a video, help me explain a few points in one go, if you can press play on the video.
Here we go. Pivot. 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 Pivot.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Okay, I don't think it's going to pivot anymore.
You think?
Okay, if you've never watched Friends, I apologize, you'll get over that, don't worry about it. But have you ever thought, I can't pivot anymore? I can't handle the pressure anymore. I am being asked too much. I cannot do this. It's not going to fit. I don't bend that far. This is impossible. Well, this chapter is speaking to us who are struggling to pivot. And the preacher of this incredible word has got something to say. Hebrews 12 starts with a pivot. We're going to have about two pivots this morning. There are a few more in the chapter, but we're going to go for two. Hebrews 12 starts with a pivot. And if you grab your Bibles and you look at Hebrews 12, you will see the very first word is a pivot. It says, therefore. Something has gone on. And therefore, something is going to happen. There is a pivot at the beginning of Hebrews 12. So in order to understand how we can go forward in Hebrews 12, we have to remind ourselves of what the therefore is therefore-ing about. Because the therefore refers to something for there. So we have something in chapter 11. Who was here last week? Can you remember as far back as last week? So Tim was preaching, fantastic word. I missed it live. I caught it on podcast. Fantastic word. So in Hebrews 11, we have a list of people who have gone before, who have in faith lived their lives. Some seeing in the natural what they were believing for in the spiritual that then comes and they see it in the natural. Others seeing it in the spiritual still had to wait for the reality of that vision to be fulfilled in heaven. So some things were discovered and experienced in a completeness on earth, and some things were still left for the now and not yet. So there is a faith journey that was unpacked in Hebrews 11. Do you remember it? Well done. Well done. You see, there are people who have gone before us, who we can take a strength from. Out of their strengths and weaknesses, We can take something from them. And the preacher to Hebrews, remember it's a sermon, not a letter. The preacher was capturing what the people that they were preaching to would have known about, which is the rich Old Testament heritage that they had as their stories and as their truth. So they were calling on people so well known in the story sense and saying, hey, remember them, remember them. So you've got them in mind? Therefore, pivot. We'll pick up chapter 12. Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. We'll get to 17, but I'm going to read a couple of verses. Okay, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let's pause just a second. Therefore, these people have shown us that sin trips you up. Because all of them tripped up at some point. But yet they pressed on. So just as they have shown us that sin trips us up and you can shake it off and you can then you can get back on track. How many times do we just stop at the tripping up? Say, no, shake it off and just crack on. Because remember, they all did. And the church is being built on people who have tripped up, shaken it off and pressed on. So the preacher is encouraging them, said, therefore, we're pivoting from them because, but that's really difficult. How can you run forward in the race marked for you when actually you're gaining strength and looking back at the people who have been before you? Well, you see, here's the pivot. We take the strength of their story and we shove it behind us. And we feel the strength of their behindness urging us forward. But we're not looking at them. We're not worshipping them. We're not fixed on them. It's not all about them. And we're going, oh my gosh, which way am I going? Oh my gosh. No, we take and we pivot. And then the preacher tells us how. And this is good. Verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on. Are you sure now? That was very tentative. Is it on the screen? Okay, we'll try that again. We do this by keeping our eyes on. Very good, well done. The champion who initiates, in other words, starts, and perfects, in other words, completes, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who starts it, the one who finishes it, the one who is at the beginning and the end. We keep our eyes on him because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. I'll just pause a second for this bit. This verse has been a really significant verse for me over a couple of years. In fairness, in the journey of writing Be Joyful, to understand that the Lord has joy. The Lord has joy. What is it? The joy that was set before him was enough for Jesus to pivot his eyeballs off of the pain that he was in. And let's face it, it would have been a fair enough if he'd had a pity party and just gone, oh my gosh, this hurts, because it really did. But he pivoted off of that. He wasn't focusing on himself. He was focusing on something that was ahead. What was he focusing on? Any ideas? The Father? The Father and our salvation. He was focusing on what was ahead. What was ahead? What was the purpose of him on the cross? The purpose of Jesus going to the cross was in order that we didn't have to die to our sins. That we would be rectified and connected again with the Father. That we would be adopted as children of the Heavenly Father into his family. He was dying for us so that we didn't have to. That's why we can sing the song that Ben helped us sing where we're good with death. Or words to that effect. It had something like that. But we're good with death. Death has lost its sting because Jesus took the sting out of death. That's why when we talk about loved ones who are senior saints in our church family, that we can do so with a confidence that they're running their race because Jesus has made it possible for them to know where the next step is when they move from rooms. Jesus, the joy that was set before Jesus was enough for him to have faith beyond his horizon, was enough for him to have faith beyond where he was enough for him to pivot and know that the purpose and the pain of what he was doing was because we were going to be able to be with him in glory in the presence of the Father forever, starting from the moment he breathed again. So, here we go. told you, it was verse 17. No, verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Remember, we were talking about he sat down. The work is finished. He sat down. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not given your lives in your struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one as he accepts us as his children." As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? I've lost myself. No. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means you are illegitimate. It means you're not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits who lives forever? For our earthly father disciplined us over a few years, doing the best they knew how. We should have the kids in there for that bit, shouldn't we? We're doing our best. doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. We're pausing. Okay, let's talk about discipline, shall we? It's going to be fun, isn't it, the next few minutes? We're going to talk about discipline. So here we have the writer to Hebrews, the preacher to the Hebrews of the message here, is talking about discipline and correction and discipline and punishment. And don't we just conjure the told-offness and the authority and the tightness of discipline and correction and the fact that the preacher even has to say don't give up when you're corrected shows that it's just really horrible to be told off when, I'm going to quit now. Now we have to understand a little bit about the language of what's been used here. Because we use the word discipline in a certain way. But the way that the language of the day would have been, discipline would have been about training. Now, for some people, that doesn't make it any better at all. But there is a different heartbeat behind training to just being told off. Now, if you're privileged enough to be a parent, you can respond to this from a position of looking as the parent and goes, oh, okay, I can get this. But all of us have been parented, and that gives us a different, sometimes a confused message about what this is. But let's think about it from different angles, be it parents, sporting athleticism. Is that even a word? I feel like I slipped up halfway through there. But, you know, if you're an athlete, you have to train. So those people who train are the people with potential, right? So if I want to be a long-distance marathon runner up there with Mo Farah, I have to be able to train. And I would train, by the way, that wasn't a joke. No, I would have to train. And I would have to train according to my potential and capacity. And quite frankly, I don't have the potential. I don't have the capacity. And clearly, I don't have the Achilles to be able to do that training. So it's not going to happen. But if you're a really amazing athlete, maybe it could for you. If you're about 5 now, you've got time. It's according to purpose. So when the father trains his children, he is seeing something. He is seeing something of potential, of growth, of amazing fruitfulness. He says, I'm going to train you because I see you and I know you and I know what you can achieve. Because he sees it. And it's not all about the achievement and the medals and the da-da-da-da-da-da. It's about the whole thing, about what glorifies God because of what and who is produced in